It's great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here today in the city. I do want you to know that if you're visiting with us, as was mentioned earlier, you are special to us. We appreciate you very much. We're glad that you're able to be with us today. We're also glad that we have our members who are able to be with us today. Certainly the devil tried, didn't he? He tried to make rain. He tried to make excuses. He tried to make waves. But you didn't hear it. And I'm glad of that. You're able to be here today. I'm so thankful for all of those who are here. But today is a special day because there is someone here for the very first time. And that is our sweet little friend, Miss Collins Ward. Collins is back there with her dad. And Dad, if you'll bring her on up. I saw Collins in the hospital, but I don't know. We didn't know if she was feeling well. This is my first time to get to hold Miss Collins, so I'm excited about that. Sleeping. Well, no, she's not. You heard my big old loud voice. Wow. This is a baby doll, isn't it? You want to look? See everybody? She is so precious and sweet. Congratulations, Joseph and Whitney and my buddy Dawson and everybody along the way. You did good, Dawson. You did well, buddy. All right. What a beautiful moment. Welcome, Miss Collins and Whitney, Joseph, Dawson. We've been praying for you guys. We're going to continue to pray. But what the best way we can do with our children is to bring them up in the church, to bring them up in the Lord, growing up in the Lord. And what a blessing that is. It is a gloomy day outside. Again, we need some rain maybe, but at the same time, it's a beautiful day in here. What a great worship we've already had this morning. Thanks to Jason for leading us in these songs, leading us and reminding us the importance of God being in control, standing with God, being there with Him, about Hosanna being our King. What a blessing it was to have Brother Kent come up here and direct our minds and those thoughts around the Lord's Supper. I pray that we are looking forward to this day and the days that we get together every day to also plug in to the power. Thank you to Brother Jimmy and Bo and all those who've led in our services today. It's time for us now to examine ourselves, to see where we are. And I want to do that with where Bo read to us from the minor prophet book of Habakkuk. Probably haven't had a whole lot of time in Habakkuk lately. Habakkuk's only 3 chapters long. But there are some great things in the book of Habakkuk that I think will be applicable to us in our lives today. Habakkuk wrote about 2,600 years ago. Think about that for a moment. You know, you think about the Word of God and you think about God and how He is, there's no age limit to God. He's eternal, right? And He's ever present and all of those wonderful and amazing attributes of Him. But he had these men pen these words hundreds and even thousands of years ago. But there's still so many applications we can draw from God's Word today. What a blessing it is. But he was writing in the land of Judah. And it's amazing about Habakkuk's book and his prophecy because he wasn't just writing about the events that were going on. A lot of times Isaiah and Jeremiah and of course some of the other prophets, Zephaniah and others, they were writing about the events going on in Judah, about pointing to God and pointing to God helping them through that. And they were kind of like staying on course. This is what God told me to say. And I'm not saying that Habakkuk drifted off of that because he wrote, what's in here is what the Holy Spirit wanted him to put in here. All these words are breathed by God. They're inspired by God, okay? So I'm not saying this, but it's almost like Habakkuk said, you know, I'm writing this, but God, I got a few questions myself. I've got some questions about all of this. And it got me to thinking about our lives today. In the middle of all of this trouble that Israel was going through and Judah were going through, let me tell you what was about to happen. They were about to go into captivity. The Babylonians were going to take him on. And we're going to talk more about the Babylonians in just a moment. But the Babylonians were a strong, strong army. Nebuchadnezzar was an evil ruler. He was a man who was about himself. He was a man who was about conquering. He was about controlling. He had money. He had armies. He had wealth. And God going to allow him to conquer them. And that's about to happen. So there's some troubled times going on, some violent times going on in this world that they're living in at the time. And here's basically what Habakkuk asked God in the middle of all this. He said, God, where are you in all this mess? Where are you? And before we just harp on that question, and we jump on Habakkuk and say, how dare you, Habakkuk, ask God where he is and all this. Folks, I don't think that sometimes we're that much different than Habakkuk was. You know, if we're truthful, we may be asking the same question today to God about our own lives. You know, there's a lot of fighting going on in the world. You look on the television, you look on the internet, you look in the social media world, and what do we see? We see attack after attack after attack. We see people going and killing people. We see verbal attacks. We see bombings. We see all kinds of evil going on. We might be asking the question, God, where are you in all this mess? But make it more personal. Maybe some of you today are sitting in this pew, but you're going back home to a mess. You're going back home to trouble, to fighting. Maybe your husbands and wives are not getting along. Maybe children and parents are fussing and fighting. Maybe they're squabbling on other parts of the family. And you may be asking the question, God, where are you in all this mess? Maybe today you've got problems at your job. Maybe you're not happy with your work. You're not being like Brother Mike taught a great lesson on laziness and the dangers of it. Maybe you're not being lazy at all. You're giving it your all and you're asking God, why are all these problems going on? Where are you in all this mess? Maybe there's other parts of your life. Maybe the car is not starting. Maybe the pipes are busting. Maybe the ceiling is falling in. Whatever it may be going on in your home, in your life, you may be asking God, where are you? Maybe it's health struggles. Let's face it. We'd all like to be in perfect health, but chances are, in a room this size, we've got some folks with some aches and pains and some struggles going on. Maybe it's death you're facing in a family. Maybe you're mourning the loss of a loved one who you cared for so much. And in all of this, you're asking the question, God, where are you in all this mess? In chapter 1, verse 2, here's what Habakkuk asked. O Lord, how shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. How long, Lord, am I going to have to go through this mess? You know, Solomon spoke of things being done in seasons. Solomon, the wisest man who ever walked the earth, also made some very foolish decisions, didn't he? But Solomon, the wisest man, because God gave him that wisdom, he made this statement that there is a time, there is a season for all of the things that we face in life, all the struggles we go through, all the good times we go through, all the issues in life that we can apply to us today. There is a season. There is a time. However, when you're walking through those moments, or maybe even literally, sometimes it seems those seasons can last for so long. When there's trouble in your life, when there's dismay in your life, when there's just all kinds of struggles and problems you're going through, it seems like those seasons will not end. We may even feel like God is ignoring our prayer. We might ask the question, if God loves me, why is He allowing all these things to happen to me? Maybe you've even prayed, Lord, please take care of X. And you know what X is, okay? You fill in that blank. Lord, please let us get through X. Well, then you might see that you didn't get through X. And then on top of X, Y and Z also happen. So when you go through the X's and the Y's and the Z's of life, sometimes we ask the question, where are you, Lord? Why am I going through all of this mess? You know, I've always been open and real as I could be. My name is Terry Cagle. I grew up in Sims and Wilmer, Alabama. I went to public school, I went to private school, I went to college, and I have a degree in Bible, but that's it, okay? I try to study the Scriptures. I'm a human being, just like everybody else in here. I do not have magical answers. God does not allow the Holy Spirit to miraculously come upon me that I can give you the solution to all your problems. I can't. I'm a human just like you. I will never pretend to have all the answers. I will never tell you I have all the reasons and I can tell you everything that's happening in your life. But here's what I can tell you. I do know the one who does know. I can point you to the one who does know. And I can point you to His Word. And I can point you to some truth. And I can point you to some things that I believe will remind all of us today that this is something that we can all get through. You see, it's not God who is saving you from the good. God's not the one saying to you, you can't get through this. He's not. He wants you to have good. He wants me to have good. He's not the one that's saying, you can't get through this. Folks, it's the devil that is. And the devil wants us to fail. The devil wants us to be miserable. The devil wants us to be lost. Again, in the book of Habakkuk, he asks, where are you? So today, as we think and we dig into the body of this lesson now, I want to give you 3 points that I believe when we leave out of here today, in difficult times, in seasons of distress, in moments of uncertainty, and all the challenges we may face in life, I believe these 3 points will remind each and every one of us today that God stands firm. And God stands true. All God wants us to do is what? Stand with Him. So today as we dig into this, I want to remind you of point number one. God's promise stands. God's promise stands. You know, on that picture there, you see the rainbow. And let me tell you, it's a sad world. This is just an aside here. It is this little rabbit I'm chasing down the road in this sermon. But as I was Googling images to put in a PowerPoint, and you try to put God's promise or God stands or just the promise of God, you will not believe when you bring up the rainbow. I'm sure you probably would. What kind of images come up? You see, the world's tried to take that away. It's tried to take that away and say that this stands for something that God doesn't stand against. But folks, don't kid yourselves of this. There was one day I was going down the road and Justin and I tried to point him out because, and many of you, I see it on Facebook, or you know, we see a rainbow in the clouds. It's still an amazing moment. There was one time Michelle and I were going down the road. I pulled off at a gas station because I saw one from beginning to end, okay? You know, it was a perfect bow all across the sky. And people were pulling off the road, taking pictures and all that. But you know what it reminded me of? What it makes me think about today is that God's promise still stands. Today, it's raining outside, but you know what's not going to happen? It's not going to flood this whole world. In Genesis chapter 9, here's what He said to Noah when Noah was off the ark, and beginning in verse 12. He said, "And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between Me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set My rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between Me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember My covenant, which is between Me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between Me and all the flesh that is on the earth." I remember when Ashley, my niece over here, was little, okay? I remember hearing the story, or I may have even heard it with my own ears, or my brother Todd repeating it to me. I can't remember exactly how I heard, but it had been raining a lot, like it does in Mobile, Alabama. And the weatherman was saying, it's flooding, you know, how it floods in different parts. And I remember Ashley saying, no, that's not true, to her daddy, because God said He would never flood the earth again. What a child thinks like, right? But isn't that so true for us today? That when we see the rainbow in the sky, it is a reminder that God's promise still stands. Today, your life is maybe filling up with water. It may be filling up with floods. It may be flooded with just trouble and distress and misery. But the promise of God still stands. He's not going to put on us more than we can handle. And we need to remember that today. We need to remember that God is still in control. When He created in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He was in His throne room. When Isaiah saw Him in Isaiah chapter 6, He was in His throne room. When we read Revelation and we read that great prophecy about things that were going to come to pass shortly, we see the image of God and He's in His throne room. It's in 2017 today, and people are talking and people are saying and people are fussing and fighting, and troubles may come, but you know where God is? He's still in His throne. He's still in control. And He still keeps His promises. There's another promise that I want you to hear today. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's a promise, but here's another promise. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I know that when I see mamas and daddies pick their children up here at Azalea City Christian School, those babies never, I mean, we have some great teachers, okay? And I'm not going to say never, because some things can happen because we have such great teachers here. But most of the time, when they see their mamas, they're not like, no, I don't want to go. They see their mamas and it's almost like, you came to my rescue. You came to take me home. Can you imagine when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, and Jesus Christ descends, and He comes, and we meet Him in the sky, in the air, and we see Him. Can you imagine that homecoming? Today, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what I'm going through. I do care. That doesn't hear the point. No matter what we're going through, okay, let me say it that way. No matter what we're going through today, there's coming a day when there'll be no more trouble. When there'll be no more pain. When there'll be no more hurt. When there'll be no more uncertainty. When there'll be no more hard decisions to make. Because there's coming a day, because of the promise of God, that He's going to take us all home. Today, do not forget that God still stands. You see, it's impossible for Him to lie, according to Hebrews 6, verse 18. So if God told us it was going to happen, it's going to happen. But secondly today, not only does His promise stand, but I want you to remember that His kingdom stands. Turn in your Bible to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, or devices, whatever you may have today. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 17. Jesus answered him. Now let me remind you what's going on in Matthew 16. Jesus has asked His disciples. Again, He's been with these guys. He's trying to teach them about the kingdom. He's trying to teach them, I'm not going to be here forever, etc., etc. So he asked them, who are the people saying I am? And some answered and said that you are John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the other prophets. He said, no. I want to know, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's what he responds to Peter. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, on the rock that he is Jesus the Christ. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here's what he said. Now, number one, remember, he keeps his promises. Here was the promise. He said, nothing will destroy my church. Nothing will destroy my kingdom. Now, I want you to think about that today. You know, today, I think sometimes we forget how powerful what we're a part of is. Because we come into this place and sometimes we may forget that God's in the middle of us, okay? Because we've done it so long, it's just what we do. We come here, we sing, we pray, we read Scripture, we take the Lord's Supper, we hear a sermon, we go home. But do not let us forget how powerful this kingdom is. Okay? If you want to think about how powerful this kingdom is, I want to take you back to Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, has a vision. And his vision has a statue in it. Okay? It has a statue. There is one part, the head, which is made of gold. Then there's a part that's silver. Then there's a part that's bronze. And then there's a part that has some iron mixed with clay. And so from the feet on up is this statue. And Nebuchadnezzar can't figure out what it is. Well, Daniel is able to figure that out, okay? But here's what I want you to know, and just to give you a brief reminder or history lesson, whichever way it is for you today, is this. That statue made significant meaning to the kingdom this world would know. Okay, the first one, the gold, is Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, his dynasty. It's Babylon. The Chaldeans also is another word we say. But what God was telling to Habakkuk, again, trying to bring all this full circle to us today, is this. He told Habakkuk that, hey, by the way, the answer to Habakkuk was, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. But you think there's violence now, wait till what's about to happen. I'm about to deliver y'all over to the Babylonians. And when the Babylonians take over, they're going to make a powerful kingdom. Let me tell you about how powerful Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. He had armies. And chariots and horses, and he was so dominant. He built walls and fortified his cities that they were so tall that people lived in them, they farmed on them, there were so many, it was impenetrable. You could not penetrate Nebuchadnezzar's walls as long as he was reigning or until God decided it was time for him to quit reigning. See, Nebuchadnezzar was a great kingdom. But it came a time when God said, okay, enough for that kingdom. Now here's the Medo-Persian kingdom. The silver represented the Medes and the Persians, okay? Now let me tell you how that happened, okay? Nebuchadnezzar's out eating grass like an ox. Long hair and everything else. He's been humbled. And so his son is reigning. And you know what they did? The Medes and Persians, they were able to dig down into the water supply. They were able to follow those tracks. They were able to come up. They were able to get him drunk. They were able to say, okay, hey, time to turn over the kingdom. And that's all it took. When it was time for God to end it, that kingdom crumbled. But then here comes the silver. Okay, again, this is part of the vision. Here's the silver. It's the Medes and the Persians. King Darius and so many others. King Ahasuerus. Or Xerxes, okay? They're reigning in these kingdoms. And so, they're this strong kingdom. They're the silver of the statue. But then there came a point in time when it was time for them to be taken over. A man by the name of Alexander. Alexander the Great. He was able to conquer them. The Greeks took over this kingdom. They took over the world. So you had Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, then you had the Medo-Persian, then you had Alexander and the Greeks, but then you had the Romans. And the Romans ruled the world. But every single kingdom that ruled the world fell. Babylon fell. The Medes and Persians fell. The Greeks fell. The Romans fell. But there was one more kingdom in that vision. There was a fifth kingdom, folks. Do not miss this. And here's what it says about the fifth kingdom. This is verse 44 of chapter 2 of Daniel. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and continue all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Today, my brothers and my sisters, we are part of the kingdom that will never, ever fail. Is your life going to crumble? Certain. Sometimes it will. Sometimes your life is going to be flipped upside down. That's the world we live in. Babylon was flipped upside down. The Medes and Persians flipped upside down. The Greeks, the Romans flipped upside down. But when we are a part of God's forever family, we will never, ever be destroyed. We will never be conquered. Because in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, His Son. Why would we not want to be a part of God's eternal kingdom? His promise stands. His kingdom stands. And there's one more point I want you to hear today, and I want you to learn today, and I want you to take with you today. And that's this. His Son also stands. We serve a Savior that certainly understands our struggles. He understands our needs. He understands the temptations we face. Why? Because He was tempted in all points as we are today. He resisted them all. And He overcame them all. It cost Him His life, but He overcame that as well. And today we serve a Savior who stands. Turn in your Bible to Acts 7, please. Acts 7, beginning in verse 54. I want you to know Stephen is a young man. He was one of the seven chosen to serve those tables. He's a great young man. He's a young man that he didn't care what others thought. He was going to speak the truth in love, and he is speaking it in chapter 7. He is telling them what they're doing wrong. He's telling them what they need to be doing right. Now, they do not like it. You're going to see that come to a climax here in these verses. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. These are the people Stephen's talking to, he's preaching to. They gnashed at him with their teeth. You know this account. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, don't miss this, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Do not miss this point. I think this is such a beautiful, powerful point. First of all, Stephen had the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to be able to see things we couldn't. But he has preached the truth to these people. And you know what's happening around him? His world, his life is crumbling at the seams. Stephen's not going to survive this. They are going to take rocks and bash at Stephen's head and his body until he's dead. That's going to happen. It's written here before us. He knows what's coming. But through the power of God, he gazes up in heaven. And Jesus, who the Bible says, is sitting at the right hand of God. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus, that shows victory. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He has stood up. Think of how powerful that is. He's not sitting anymore. It's almost like he says, God, you send the word. You tell me to go, and I'll bring them home. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't. But chances are, you and I may be facing some hard times. We might throw all our problems in the middle of the room and realize our problems aren't so bad and take our problems back. But we all have problems. We all have challenges. We all have times of uncertainty. And we may have been crying out, God, where are you in all of this mess? Here's what God's telling us today. I made a promise a long time ago that still stands. I can let you be a part of my kingdom, which will always stand. And I want you to know that my son sympathizes with you so much that he is not sitting anymore. He is standing, rooting you on, ready to come to your rescue. The question today is this. Are we standing? Has it crumbled us to the point that we can't get up? I've quoted my famous prophet Rocky Balboa many times. Rocky made the statement, I ain't going down no more. Today, you may be knocked down. You may be like Habakkuk and say, all this violence, all this misery, all this torture, all this pain, where are you, Lord? But at the end of it, Habakkuk didn't have that attitude. He had the attitude that Bo read to us in chapter 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, as bad as you can imagine. Even though I may be going through the worst things you can imagine, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And He will make me walk on my high heals. Today, God stands. His promise stands. His kingdom stands. His son stands. Are you and I willing to stand with Him? Are we willing to do it right now as we surrender all, as together we stand and sing?